When there's yeah, there's applause there. When there's extra noise. I didn't hear. It's Ooh. There you go. There's applause. Yes. Live, recorded in Justin's studio. Oh, you even faded that well. Nicely done.
That's how you know we're live.
Yeah.
According to Mark.
In front of a live studio audience. Right. We're just missing the studio and the audience. Brought to you by technology.
That's right.
Yeah.
That reminds me of a song.
Yeah? Is it a song you can share?
Yeah. Okay. Well, sure. It's from the movie Napoleon Dynamite.
Okay.
His brother Kip. At the end of the movie, when the credits are rolling, he and his girlfriend get married, and he sings a song called "I Love Technology, But Not As Much As You." You see,
yeah, nicely done.
And he sounds just like that. It's hilarious.
We should definitely
look it up.
That was worth some applause if I had the button. Oh. It's all good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations. All right.
Yeah.
Should we have some awkward silence?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about there for just a moment. What is it about that? What is it about if we're thinking about it from the aspect of the word quiet? What is it about? I'm getting right. You know what came to mind though, Justin? We were having a discussion, of course, about the topics.
Yeah.
And I'm wrestling with this ability to have fun because I think I think it is important. And yet I find myself going right into the deep water and saying, "Okay, what is it about this word?" But when let's add a little levity. Can you think of a time when you created a certain level of awkward silence? And you can you remember the last time
it intentionally was, or accidentally?
Either one.
Oh.
It could be a moment where you just had a faux pas and it was like the room was just quiet because nobody quite knew what to do. You're doing a good job of creating quiet.
You're welcome. I'm just trying to demonstrate awkward silence.
What makes that awkward?
Yeah, that's a good question. Are we going there? Do you want me?
Oh, no, no. I'm still on here. I want to still hear the...
I can think of a few jokes I've told that just kind of fell flat.
Okay.
And that's probably...
Like in a professional setting or like CR or family or...
Family maybe or CR.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably that.
Yeah. Something where you thought something was going to be funnier than it was.
Or it's around someone new you don't know that well and they don't know you're joking. And then it's like, "Ha, I'm just kidding."
Yeah.
After awkward silence. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes we lead a small group. Sometimes I'll force awkward silence.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll just tell them, like, "We're going to have some awkward silence until someone talks."
Oh, wow.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. We usually don't have that, though. People talk, but.
Yeah. No. And I think so, quite often it is around those moments where we say something thinking we know something. Like, "Oh, you're expecting." And suddenly that person is not expecting.
I'm not.
Yeah.
Right. That's awkward.
That would be awkward. But yes, things like that where we say something and it just isn't received. Or
yeah, that is always awkward.
So when I say the word quiet, what comes to mind for you?
Drinking my coffee. Yeah, you know, that's not untrue. Quiet, I think of mourning and contemplative and quiet, or yeah, quiet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And peaceful and drinking my coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like a good list.
Yeah.
How about you?
For quiet?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely the morning comes to mind. When I think about, you know, having a, if you will, a quiet spirit, I think, you know, having some quiet time, that kind of thing, quiet time kombucha, you know, that kind of thing,
right.
where we're intentional about creating.
You got any more of that in stock yet?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Mm. Yeah.
How much are you charging the listener audience?
Well, if you come to my house for breakfast, you can likely have some for free. How's that sound?
Well, all right.
Yeah.
But his breakfast is at 5:30, folks. So just keep that AM.
Yeah. But it was interesting. It was part of the fun. Wait. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
No.
Awkward.
It was funny because yesterday morning, it was kind of going through my mind. I was out with the F3 guys, and there was a group that had ran ahead, and there was a group that was kind of behind, and I was kind of in the middle. I wasn't ahead, and I wasn't behind, and I was by myself and running through, you know, Southport, and I saw two foxes.
Oh.
And it's like, I was saying to myself, you know what, Mark, we rarely see foxes, you know, I mean, not that they're not here, not that they're not around, that kind of thing. But I was thinking about it in the aspect that I was just by myself running, and it's not like I was huffing or puffing too much.
Yeah.
And there wasn't other guys around, because I think about it, you know, there are guys who will joke about, you know, it's like they're mouth powered because, you know, the harder they have to work, the more they're, you know, they talk.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it in that context, and it just reminded me of, you know, the things we miss out on, I guess, when we're not able to be quiet.
Yeah. You could even go so far as to change, not quiet, but the opposite of being quiet is being output, right? So like when we're outputting, so like even in that example of working out or whatever, you're just exerting, you're pushing or whatever, it's all output. And so it's, I think it can be easy to miss input, you know, and whereas, you know, quiet gives you an opportunity to embrace input. Right.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, just be quiet so I can explain this to you. Right. It's like,
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I also thought of another thing when it comes to silence or quiet. This is more of a humorous one.
That's okay.
Unless you're in the situation. It's not funny at all, but like, we know some friends who they have some very young ones, and some of their young ones, when it's quiet, they're just playing nicely. Other ones, when it's quiet, they know there's some trouble brewing.
Better go check.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So quiet can mean, you know, sneaky danger.
Yeah, yeah. Something's about to happen.
That's right. Something's afoot.
Yeah.
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 That made me think of that.
Yeah. No, because
like, it's quiet.
At that point, yeah. Yeah. And I think at times we can have, even as a culture, we can have that same feeling, but yet there's no sneakiness going on. You follow me? It's like, oh, it's quiet here. I've got to turn something on. I got to listen to this, or, you know, put a podcast in, you know. That was a joke too.
Please do. Just turn it down. And so it's kind of quiet.
Ah, but is it quiet then?
That's a joke.
No, I'm just
still input. Yeah.
So,
but quiet input.
So that being said, what is it about quiet, do you think, or silence that tends to make us, well, not make everyone. I think there are, you know, I think different people have grown accustomed to or have habits that they kind of embrace quiet. I'm not saying that for everyone, but what is it about? You think about it in even a church dynamic. Let's go there. You know, it's like worship time, you know, I think, and well, not just church, but a lot of entities work really hard to avoid silence.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it about that, Justin, from your perspective?
Well, I think probably the easiest answer would be attempting to not lose their focus, lose audience focus or attention. So I think, because I can think of, you know, I've been doing music and worship for a long time.
Yeah,
I've also preached, right?
So, sure.
In both cases, you know, if there's a gap, here's the key. If there's a gap that's not intentional, then you can see shifting, you can see, you know, focus start to drift. And so the goal, I think, is to maintain focus. So I think that's probably the most practical and easy answer. But also, I think it's difficult for us up on a stage to live in awkwardness, right? Hmm. Well, I think that's hard for anyone. It's hard for the audience too. Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
What are they doing? Why is it quiet? You know, it's like you start to get a little uncomfortable. And I do think that's part of the squirming and losing focus is like,
what happened?
Discomfort. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I did throw in the word unintentional because I think some churches and some environments are good at creating intentional silence.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like
sure.
For the purpose of meditation, right?
Sure.
And I think in that case, when everyone's agreed, okay, this is what we're doing. We understand what this is. It's not awkward. It can become acceptable. And that doesn't mean you won't lose your focus, but at least you lose some of the squirming.
Sure.
I don't know. Those are a few of my thoughts. What do you think?
No, I was thinking about it in the aspect of the terminology dramatic pause.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like sometimes that's a calculated thing where you're actually asking people to be quiet. But typically, when I think of it in a dramatic pause, where you're actually in that moment asking for or creating that opportunity for an intentional reflection.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, that's a little different because, well, I think it's a led quietness.
It is, yeah. And everyone, rather than wondering what's happening, they're going, crap, what did I miss?
Yeah.
They rewind a little bit.
Yeah.
And then they understand.
Or they're actually right with you and they're starting to think about that thing you asked them to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a setting where, you know, it's not so reciprocal. The communication isn't so reciprocal and you're just asking them to reflect on that for the sake of, you know, moving forward. And so, yeah. But I think, you know, in some cases too, and I appreciate that insight, you know, as far as maintaining an attention and we can lose, you know, others can lose focus. And I think at the same time, the constant noise can also cause us to, you know, lose focus. I shouldn't say that. For me, I think other people, I think you have the ability to, you know, like listen to something on the radio and still completely focus on what they're doing or have a TV playing and, you know, focus on a task.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I would, you know, say at times, I think it is a led distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess part of another thing, you know, when I have conversations with people, you know, quite often, there's a point in someone's life where they just have experienced a hurt or something and they have been on this quest ever since to keep themselves busy or to have something going, you know, to have this level of noise so that I don't have to necessarily endure that awkward silence because I am uncomfortable with it.
Yeah, and I think that's, you're getting into some other territory, but I think that can deal with you know, trauma and people, mm-hmm. I think that's what you're saying, right? But yeah. Where people, the silence reminds.
Sure. Right?
And, you know, like I was saying, in silence, people can lose their focus. Well, for some people, in the case of silence, it always redirects their focus to, you know, that trauma potentially, mm-hmm. right? Where it's like, I don't want that because I naturally gravitate towards that trauma. Or some people worry mm-hmm. or doubt or
sure. know,
some negative patterns. But yeah, I could see that for sure.
Yeah, and I think in a lot of cases that can even drive kind of our culture, if you will, towards this tendency to be uncomfortable, mm-hmm. you know, with quietness in a sense that's deeper than just the mm-hmm. fact that, you know, I've lost my focus for a moment or I've lost your attention for a moment, mm-hmm. you know, because I've allowed this quietness. And I guess that's where it kind of came to mind as far as how we talk about how, what is that, what do we do? Or, cause I mentioned it earlier, you know, some people are, and I think it is that continuum dynamic where some people aren't as uncomfortable, and yet they can get to the point where that's all they want. So if you're humming mm-hmm. and you're just being joyful, you know, it's like you're interrupting yeah. their world.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's the other side of that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Huh. And yeah, on the other end, there is that inability to have, and I guess that's what I bring it out there, is that ability of, okay, do I need to learn to implement a little more quiet in my life and just kind of have this opportunity for reflection? Or am I at a point where, yeah, I'm starting to head towards that isolation end of things mm-hmm. and I need to be able to, you know, have some interactions and discussions and mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Thoughts? I see the wheels turning from over here. So that's why I was.
That's right. Well, one thing that I was thinking about is quiet is often synonymous with listening, right? Mm. And, you know, we did an episode on listening and I think it's a pretty good one. I encourage you to go listen to it. Go listen to listening.
Yes,
and then be quiet after that. but no, I would say we talked pretty in depth about the value of listening, which again is input over output. And I think our tendency, generally speaking, I would say our natural tendency is output. Mm. Listen to me, watch me, see what I'm doing. When I think it's healthy to have opportunities and dedicated time for input. And an understanding of the value of, you know, switching to input mode.
Sure.
And I think quiet is a natural switch for that, right? Like it can be.
It can be, yeah.
But not all people. And that, yeah. like we talked about, there's maybe some trauma situation. Like, you know, it's not always the truth. I think anyone can probably work to get there, maybe.
Sure.
Through meditation, you know, through various practices or counseling if quiet is traumatic for you. I mean, you could work through it with counseling, but I mean, you know, maybe there's people out there that's never going to be a good thing. I'm not saying
yeah.
whatever, but for most people, quiet is a good, you know, signal for listening.
Yeah.
Can be.
And I think
like
that,
you've seen the foxes, right? Like it was quiet.
Yeah.
And that was a signal to listen, pay attention. And by listen, you know, watching, you know, listening to your environment, taking it in. And you saw them, you know, and you probably wouldn't if you were yapping with the yappers or.
I hear you.
You know, up front with the. You know.
And I think that's where I come from, is that ability to say, okay, if this is the first time I've experienced that in quietness tended to create that, my tendency is to think about it. It's like, okay, how many other things am I missing?
Yeah.
In that sense of quietness and my ability to have it. And I think, you know, in that moment, there's often a number of things that we'll miss out on just if we're having to have a certain level of noise or output around us.
Yeah. I think you're naturally kind of desire quiet. Is that true? I don't know. See, seems like this is a, I don't know. I just imagine you in that running state and really embracing that. Or getting up super early. I mean, I think that's a big part of it for you. Is that's a lot of quiet opportunities.
Sure. Yeah.
Do you think that's true for you? Like, you embrace quiet.
I do probably embrace quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And as you say that, because like I say, I put it out there in that continuum. I'm not saying I'm balanced by any means. And yeah, it is probably to the point of I don't necessarily desire more interaction, more output, you know. I think it's a personal dynamic to each and every person, and that's where you know we talk about it from an aspect of okay, you know, because I think another dynamic for me was when I was doing community mental health, and I think I might have mentioned this, you know, in the, you know, it's like the level of noise in certain households, you know, just made it chaotic.
Yeah. Not conducive.
Yeah. And it's like you had to actually, you know, kind of pull your client away and kind of create that, because in that chaotic environment, there was so much noise. Like you're saying, it was hard to have a focus, even because there was so much noise and such a variety of voices, you know, that it made it difficult to focus. And I think that's where probably for me, I embrace quiet a little more.
Yeah.
Because for me, that's what I need in order to really focus. I'm not a person who can do a number of things at the same time or listen to something and still write.
Yeah.
You know.
Same, yeah.
But
yeah, I'm not a multitasker. Although I've had to learn how to do it better. But I think you and I both agree that multitasking is the devil.
It's definitely overrated. It's overrated. My
yes.
Yes.
For me, sometimes it feels like the devil, but that's silly. Essentially, I'm really bad at doing more than one thing at a time. The thing is with noise is sometimes, and especially for some people, like, you know, there's studies about, you know, and you probably know this better than I do, ADHD, ADD, where some inputs can actually enhance focus, right?
Oh, sure.
So playing music super loud or, you know, certain things like that can actually kind of remove the natural impetus in their brain to like, to squirrel, you know, what's that? You know, it's like, it kind of takes that secondary thing that wants to pull their attention and kind of takes that the attention of it, right?
Sure.
And so now their primary focus can kind of stay somewhere, you know. And I think that's kind of cool, and that's unique. You know, we're all unique, and I think that's cool. We're quiet for them, you know. For I think people with ADD and ADHD is actually like seriously an enemy.
No doubt.
It becomes loud.
Yes.
Right.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great point.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
And I think it's interesting too, in a lot of those cases, you know, the ability, and it's not always sound, you know, sometimes the ability to do something physical, like a spinner or, you know, something that is occupying my body offers that, you know,
it's
entertaining my brain enough to kind of take this part of the band over here, and that allows me to be able to focus.
Take the children in the back and let them play, and we'll get some work done over here, basically.
But I was thinking that it with that child themselves, you know, when I was thinking bandwidth, as far as the ability to, once that static is kind of dealt with, then I'm left with this part that's able to focus without all the static there.
But it's interesting.
You were thinking on interesting.
I was thinking we should have quiet and see. And then here's why. Intentional quiet, where we ask basically that way we can get paid to do nothing. Just kidding. We don't get paid, folks. an opportunity to be quiet. And then I would love if the listeners would write in what it triggered, what thoughts.
Mm,
you know what I mean?
That'd be kind of cool. I do.
All right. Can we do it?
Sure.
Do we count down?
That's what I was thinking, but you know, I was just being quiet.
Yeah.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
What are you pointing at me for?
Oh, I was waiting for you. It was your study, so I figured I'd let you decide what was long enough.
Yeah, I think that was good. What do you guys think? Is that good enough? Do you need more time?
I think that was good.
Yeah, I'm struck by how awkward it felt for me. But Mark was just, he was comfortable. You should have seen him. He was like in a Zen pose, like, oh.
Not quite, but like you say,
it's pretty close. You definitely looked very comfortable.
Well, I was.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So that would be interesting, because it would be interesting to have that input,
yes,
you know, to be able to recognize, okay, what is it about quiet? Because I think.
Well, there's a feature on Spotify. If you listen through Spotify,
yeah,
where we can ask questions in the episode itself, like if you go to the episode page on Spotify, and you can actually answer questions that we put in there. So if I remember,
yeah,
I'm going to put that question in there about during that period of quiet, what came to mind. Because yeah, I'd love to get people's thoughts. And if you're not on Spotify, you know, you can write us at howiseeit.click, or, you know, find us at church, or
yeah,
Facebook, Instagram,
Frisbee.
That's
F3CR.
Right. That's the new social media.
Frisbee. There you go. Yeah.
Just kidding. Yes. Any of the above. We'd love to hear from you. It'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely, back to Mark is very comfortable and quiet, it would seem. And I think that ties well into different personality types, right?
Sure, no doubt.
Where some personality types are naturally maybe introverted even, and quiet is a refueling type,
sure,
of thing, right?
Yep.
Where, you know, extroverted, and even as you get on the continuum to extreme extroversion, noise is refueling, right? Like,
sure,
kind of the motion and the buzz, that's refueling. And, you know, that's a pretty known thing that for someone who's an introvert, you know, a party is going to drain them pretty quickly.
Yep.
And an extrovert is going to fill them right up. And it has everything to do with quiet, I think.
You think? I was thinking it had everything to do with people.
People.
When I think of introvert, extrovert, not that people don't come with a certain level
of noise.
Well,
I'm curious.
But yeah.
Is it the people, or is it the quiet, and that people are, you know, they're synonymous?
Well, I think when I'm thinking introvert,
yeah,
I am thinking that person doesn't necessarily like to be around other people because it's draining. And I think the emotions and the conversation,
right,
and that kind of thing. And I'm hearing that part of you that can lean towards quiet.
I've heard that introverts, you know, like when reading about the different, they like quiet time with their spouse on a couch.
Sure.
They don't like when their spouse drags them to a party.
Right.
Right?
And that's where I'm saying it comes back to people.
Right. And I'm saying it's synonymous because people means not quiet. But if the people are quiet, like, I bet introverts love the library.
I hear where you're coming from.
Are you
from
an introvert? Write in and let us know. No, but you get what I'm saying? Like,
I do
wonder if it's the people, or if it really is the noise, the output.
Sure.
And the stimulus, the input stimulus of
That's a great
people.
I'm picturing that. I would still see, this is my perspective on it. If an introvert, this is like if a tree falls in the woods, does it still make noise?
That's right.
But I was thinking about an introvert at a busy library where there's just people all around you, kind of in your space.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of, maybe it's still quiet.
I got you.
It would be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I could see how, the bustle.
Yes.
Could be.
And granted,
and
that's
just
not necessarily
maybe,
emotional communication either at that point, like I shared. But yeah, it would be interesting to,
maybe it's not, you know, the loudness or the people, but stimulus generally.
Yeah.
So.
No, I hear where you're coming from.
Right.
Valid point.
Right. Maybe they wouldn't want the TV, you know, even off, but on you know, yeah, volume off but on, because that's like kind of a distract. You know, I'm curious now.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to do a study on that. Or there's a good chance.
I'm sure there already is, but yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
No doubt.
Yeah. So
good
what
points.
You, as far as the continuum.
Yeah.
Right. On my right is extrovert. On my left is introvert. Extreme introverted and never wants to go out. Hermit.
Okay.
You know, yep, whatever yep. The other end is, you know, can't, doesn't go home.
Yeah.
Right. Like they right. just bounce just from one to party to another.
Around,
yeah.
Around.
Whatever. Yeah. Where would you put yourself?
Oh, wow. Now, see, I'll admit I've probably changed.
Sure.
Over time.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was definitely more extroverted, you know, even having been referred to kind of that life of the party type person, you know, that just, yeah.
Not, I don't know that, Mark.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
don't get me wrong.
I've
the
forgotten.
Party always starts when you get yeah. here, but
I don't know about that. But yeah, I would definitely say, this is the other part of it. You know, I think so often for me, you know, I would definitely be a person who, when I come home, I'll shut stuff off. You know, if a TV's on or, you know, and nobody's really there, you know, or radio, I'll start shutting it down, you know, because, but I think part of that is a process of my day. When I was in construction, it was noise and, you know, and that kind of thing. I just was tired of the noise by the end of the day.
Yeah.
And then, you know, sometimes it's about wanting to not have to listen.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that it's a thing, but, you know, as far as the ability to have some just quiet, you know, not that I don't want to talk with Chris either when I came home, you know, conversationally, but yet there is something to be said for just being able to say, okay, going to have a little quiet. Mm-hmm. And I think about that in the context of introvert, extrovert. And I still enjoy being around people.
Yeah.
And I would definitely say, you know, being around people gives me energy.
Okay.
It doesn't tap me.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I'll admit if I'm around people all the time,
yeah,
you know, then I still desire to kind of say, okay, nope, I do need to. And that's probably where my mornings, you know, starting off my mornings quiet. So I would probably say I've shifted maybe more towards introverted. I was thinking about the other day, I don't tell stories quite like I used to, you know, that was a thing, you know, that I would, you know, entertain people or, you know, by telling the stories, you know, and yeah. And I think part of that's my job now too. It's not like I can tell every story that I, you know, come across,
yeah.
But yet I'm still telling you about the foxes on the other morning. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, so yeah, long story long, I would say in the middle, closer to extrovert.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Definitely.
So maybe bouncing across that middle line.
Yeah.
Depending on the day.
Depending on the stimulus, like
yeah.
you were saying, you know.
Yeah.
Because if there's enough stimulus, then it's like, I'm okay leaning towards that introverted. Although I'd probably say more so isolated, where I'm just kind of intentionally recharging with quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You?
I think similar but different.
Yeah.
So similar in the sense that I've shifted a lot as I've gotten older. I would say when I was younger, I would definitely put myself in the extrovert category. I think
who'd have thought? It's not like we don't have a podcast or something, you know, where we're putting. No, right. No, I'm just kidding.
It's true. It's true. Maybe we got. Yeah, that's interesting. But you know, it's not the same because it's not like we're getting all the input.
No, I agree.
This is more. Well, I guess that's. I don't know.
Go ahead. I didn't mean
Anyway, I think mine ties pretty well into my ongoing issue with approval addiction that I've talked about. It's just like wanting approval. And you can't get approval in quiet and on your own in isolation, right? So it would be about seeking out environments most conducive to gaining approval. So, you know, one of those elements, kind of like what you were saying about being the life of the party. I don't know if I would say I was, I would not say I was that guy, but like you, I could be winsome, you know, humor or whatever, and have good conversations and trying, you know, get people to laugh or whatever. And so that was something. I would definitely say as I've gotten older, I've shifted to more, I definitely vacillate between, I need that filling up being around people to going, okay, I need space, you know?
And yeah.
Kind of like what you were saying, like I think they both bring me energy, really. Sure. And truthfully, I work from home.
Yeah, I was thinking about that for you too. Yeah.
Yeah. And
you're here.
Right.
I would have studio.
Thought, right. By myself, you know, 90% of my life is in a room by myself, you know, and obviously I have some input from through chat and through those things at work, but it's, I would say that I can't ignore that. And I would also say that was one of my biggest fears before, working from home, like before I really knew how to do it, you know, and I've been doing it for, I don't know, 12 years, 13 or something, was like, is it going to be miserable all by myself and, you know, and not having that social engagement and stimulus or whatever. And that was like a real concern. Mm-hmm. And I would say it wasn't like that at all. I think there's something about the quiet that allows you to focus. And when you can focus, you can do the work. And if you like the work, that's a good thing.
Oh,
does
sure.
that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
And I did, so. And I do. So, I do think that's interesting. I don't think you can take that away from, I think that's part of my equation, right? The fact that I'm isolated, you know, 90% of the time or whatever that percentage. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's probably pretty high percentage if you count every work day, right?
Yeah.
And sleeping. So I might be more introverted than I would think, but with just little doses of, let's, you know, go to CR, let's go to church, or whatever.
Yeah. As podcast. A percentage.
Yeah.
You might actually spend far more time isolated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that you're necessarily an introvert at that point, but
Yeah. I mean, again, I think the easiest identifier for which one you are is which one brings you energy.
I agree. Or
would you say,
Oh, yeah.
Or drains you. And I think they both can. Especially when I'm struggling more towards, you know, close to depression or in depression. Mm-hmm. Even then it's like some days the silence beats me up, right?
Oh, okay.
And getting out can bring in some levity, you know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
And then other times it's like, I don't want to be around people at all.
Is it the silence that beats you up or the thoughts that come in the silence?
The latter, right?
Okay.
The latter for sure. That's kind of back to what you're saying about silence can be bad for some people. I mean,
no, I agree.
You know, if you struggle with depression, that definitely can be a trigger.
Right.
Right.
And I think that's where, you know, like you said, you know, even with trauma, learning how to, you know, focus that quietness even to where I'm, you know, because what came to mind for me, I'm not necessarily creating an analogy, but I mean, in that sense, what came to mind for me was that person with ADD, you know, because it takes that ability to learn how I can refocus even in the quietness. And I think it takes quietness at times to be able to learn to be comfortable with it.
Yeah.
In that process, you know, it's a learning. It's not that I can't, but it can be difficult to learn how to challenge those thoughts that come. And I think, you know, when we are able to, the quietness isn't such a formidable or, you know, dangerous thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think, like some extreme mental health situations kind of throw the rules out, right?
Sure.
And so it gets a little hard to say, we'll just do that or do that, you know, or whatever, because it's a more of an extreme situation. You have to kind of treat it differently. And I feel that way. Like, I value silence. I value quiet time. I value being in this office by myself in isolation. I think it is refueling for the most part. But like I said, when I'm struggling in depression, sometimes that can be Yeah, it can be oppressive or like
daunting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But again, it's not like I want the opposite. I want to go to a party.
Sure.
You know, it's like,
yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I mean by it's kind of an extreme situation that doesn't have perfect resolutions
there. Exactly.
You know, yeah. Which is always a struggle.
But unfortunately, that's what we hear from people is, well, just yeah. do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Solutions that work in maybe less extreme situations
yeah.
are expected to work all the way up the chain.
Sure.
To all, every level of extremity. And, you know, I think you found probably in other mental health situations that the rule book kind of, it's not as useful in the extremes.
Oh, sure.
Right? It's more about let's get through this time. Sure.
And I think it's also it's also a personal dynamic so often because I think what may work for someone may not work for another individual just based on who they are or what that thing means. Mm-hmm. But
I was just thinking back to the approval thing, like quiet, silence, isolation, all of those things were oppressive to me in the same sense that someone who's it's been a little too long since they had a hit of their drug, right? Like, of like they start to jones and twitch a little bit. Mm. It was very much like that for me. Like I needed to hear you're okay again, or you matter, or you know, you're funny, or whatever.
Glad you're here.
Yeah, whatever it was. Like not the words "we're glad you're here," but proof of that, right? Like through laughter, through whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And for me, that was a big part about refueling. Was it wasn't really fuel as much as an addiction and like needing that hit again to feel okay, you know. And part of getting older and maturing and going through recovery and all these things is being able to arrive at a place where I recognize, you know, where I recognize what that for what it is. It is an addiction, and that needing that hit of approval is not healthy. Mm. And like kind of learning how to realign some of those things, because it's kind of like food addiction where you can't stop eating. That's not the solution. It's not, you know, it's not like a drug addiction where you should stop doing that. Well, with food, you got to eat. So you got to relearn the tools like for how to eat properly. And sometimes you fail at it and you eat badly and you just try and get back. That's very much for me kind of like the with approval.
Sure.
It's like it's this ongoing effort to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And so part of that is, I think, learning to be comfortable with quiet and silence and isolation and also being able to embrace that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what shifted me towards that introverted side, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Appreciate you sharing on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, as you go forward, feel free to, let us know what came to mind when you thought about that, in that moment of silence that we had. Feel free to let us know what came to mind for you. And
I'm really curious.
Yeah. Know that we appreciate the interaction when it's given that opportunity. So yeah. That being said, thanks for sharing, Justin. This is How We See It.
Bye.
Hey, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us, and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said .click, as in .click. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.